Hi everyone, Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Sustainable Investing Perspectives podcast here on the UBS Conversations podcast channel. Joining us for the conversation today, glad to welcome back from the UBS Chief Investment Office, Amantya Muhadini. Amantya is the Sustainable and Impact Investing Strategist for the Americas. We're also glad to welcome back to the podcast Martin Grosskopf of AGF. Martin serves as a Portfolio Manager and Director of Sustainable Investing for the firm. So up front, Amantya, Martin, I do want to take a moment to thank you both for spending some time today with our listeners, our clients. It's nice to have you both back here together on the podcast. I want to remind our listeners as well that our conversation today will be tying into the latest edition of the monthly Sustainable Investing Perspectives publication, which can now be located up on ubs.com/CIO. And among the topics featured within the Chief Investment Office does discuss climate commitments and evolution in the green job landscape, which we will be covering on today's podcast. So with that, let's dive into some of these focus areas. Amantya, starting with you, as I noted within the March Perspectives publication, a CIO does highlight the evolution of green jobs. So can you tell us what you found and why this is important?
Hi, Dan. Thank you. Always a pleasure to join and discuss sustainable investing trends here on the podcast. So we looked this month at the collection really of research from various organizations around green jobs. And let me start by saying part of why we're curious here is that we've discussed many times with our partners on the podcast the broader energy transition, the increased investment, as well as deployment of capital in building everything from renewable energy infrastructure to oil and gas, traditional companies expanding into these areas to broadly green technology. And so we wanted to know whether other market indicators, and specifically here the labor side, is actually ticking along as we would want to see. Now, what's interesting is when we look at the World Economic Forum's Future of Jobs report for 2023, we note that they, in a way, agreed with our expectations here, that so-called green jobs in these areas that I just mentioned will be the second largest contributor to the job market growth in the years ahead, according to the WEF's research and estimations, which points to or, in a way, corroborates this concept of a transition and expansion as we're thinking about the broader economy globally. The IEA, in a different report, puts a number to this. They projected that the green transition could generate up to 30 million jobs in all of these industries across energy efficiency, renewable energy, and broadly low emission technology. Now, what's also interesting is that not all of these kind of new skills required will be in specifically these quote-unquote traditionally green areas of the market that are emerging, but also these same talents are required across the existing market infrastructure, specifically in traditional oil and gas companies across all of the sub-segments there as they're looking to expand capacity to adapt to the transition. So that's all very interesting to us. Of course, it's not entirely rosy as a picture. There is a skills gap that is being found. And what's interesting is to see how regulators and governments are responding here. So, for example, both Hong Kong and the European Union are increasingly investing resources in helping bring some skills to workers, be through vocational training or through retraining and reskilling to allow for a smoother transition here. This will be important to watch in the near term as, of course, the skills gap could point to challenges of scale down the line. So let me pause there. And I'm just curious, Martin, I mean, you think of these questions from, again, an investor perspective. Curious if you've been watching the labor market with regards to the energy transition and if you have any comments.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for the question and pleasure to be on again today. I think it's been a longstanding issue kind of in the clean tech space, shortage of skilled labor. I think that's accelerating. You know, when I joined the financial markets years and years ago, I came from engineering consulting on the environmental side of things. And You know, back then there weren't a lot of people that focused on it. I found through, you know, my time in the financial markets that even within this industry, it's very difficult to find people with financial acumen as well as, you know, knowledge of climate or sort of green generally in terms of technical expertise. So there's definitely a shortage. We own some companies that are in the engineering consulting space. Labor's always the issue for them. In terms of qualified people, that's in water, waste, energy areas. And then obviously the corporates that we own, you know, it's often difficult to find people as well. And so you mentioned sort of heavy industry, and they're certainly trying to staff up in some of these areas. Difficult to attract the right talent. So it's a bit of an issue. I've noticed some recent stats, for instance, in Canada here, where programs that were environmental engineering related, for instance, have not had the same applications as anticipated, and they've even slowed down in the last couple of years. So I'm not really sure why that is, but it's definitely an issue when you think of all of the sort of transition-related expertise we need. The AI build-out and all the new power demand has a lot to do as well with infrastructure and greening. Low-carbon energy. So I think it's a gap, and it's something that needs attention.
Martin, as a follow-up, if you think about the question of shareholder engagement to the energy transition, what would you say are the implications here?
Yeah, so, I mean, it can definitely become part of engagement with companies that we might own. I mean, obviously, we're trying to help steward initiatives, you know, essentially around capital spend towards lower carbon options. That can be energy efficiency. It can be new build, obviously, of renewables or other low carbon options. And obviously, the labor aspect of that is critical. So retention's key. So obviously, that can become part of your engagement with companies in terms of ensuring they're comping people appropriately and retaining them. You know, sometimes that has to do with equity. You know, it certainly helps if employees have equity stakes in the companies that they're working for. It ensures retention to some extent. So it definitely becomes, you know, part of an overall engagement strategy with firms that are trying to transition their businesses over time. And certainly, you know, that's something I'd be interested to hear, Amanda, from your perspective, what you're seeing.
Yeah, what I'll say is, I mean, I find it interesting the examples that you're giving here, Martin, as examples of kind of one specific area, the intersection of social issues, human capital, as you're mentioning, and the energy transition. And this is exactly the way that we like to hear you as a manager making tangible what engagement looks like. What I'll say is just taking a step back here, as we think of how investors are allocating in their portfolios to get exposure and benefit from all of these longer-term investment trends, we think looking towards those strategies which have this explicit objective around engagement as part of portfolio construction can really add some value here. It can help managers who are very kind of pointed in identifying what are those areas in the names that we own that we can have a conversation with management around and help them move along, maybe provide some kind of knowledge and expertise internally that can then kind of benefit the company in terms of sustainability, but of course in terms of future outlook from a financial perspective. Taking an even kind of broader step back, one of the things that we've noticed in the public conversation in the last couple of months has been kind of maybe a shift in the way in which managers, in particular, very large ones, have taken sort of to engagement. There's maybe a shift perhaps away from collective action on these areas and more a focus on each individual's strategies and managers' approach to having these conversations with portfolio companies. From our perspective and the advice that we would give to our clients and listeners would be, you know, these areas really matter. It's important to kind of really focus on what actually is happening here beyond headlines. And we still think that engagement is a useful tool to benefit both sustainability and, as I said, financial performance. So this is just one of those examples.
Well, Amantia and Martin, thank you both for dropping by UBS Conversations, for sharing your insights into these topics with our listener base and clients. Again, I will point our listeners to read further into these topics covered on today's podcast. Please reference the latest Sustainable Investing Perspectives publication, which again is now located up on ubs.com/CIO. Though for clients of UBS, simply reach out to your UBS financial advisor if you would like to receive a copy directly. Though again, today we have been hearing from Amantia Muhadini from the UBS Chief Investment Office, as well as Martin Grosskopf from our partners at AGF. Amantia, Martin, thank you both again for spending some time with us today.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliates. The views and opinions expressed in this material by external guest speakers are those of the author, speaker, and are not those of UBS, its subsidiaries, or affiliates. Accordingly, UBS does not accept any liability over the content of this material or any claims, losses, or damages arising from the use or reliance of all or any part thereof. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient, and is published for informational purposes only. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.